All right, so anybody who wants to follow along should make sure you're on Mariv, Shmoneh Esrei by Mariv, because we are in the middle of the Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei. So I believe that will be somewhere around page like 266 or 268 or something like that in the Hebrew English Art School. 268, not bad. So we'd begun discussing why Havdalah is in Chonin Hadas, and we discussed the Atachon Antanu L'manat Tarasecha, that we have Atachonin La'adam Das, and then Atachonin Chon Antanu L'manat Tarasecha, and the difference between those two things. So going to pay up tonight, talk about these the first two phrases here. Atachon Antanu L'manat Tarasecha, Vatilamdenu Lasos Chukei Ritzonecha. So you grant us to know your Torah, and you teach us to do the chukei ritzonecha, the laws of your ratzon, of your will. So exactly what are these two things? Why is one lamada and one is lasos? One is torasecha and one is chukei ritzonecha. So what exactly is going on here? So the Eitz Yosef explains that lamada torasecha means to know the Torah, which means to understand the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to understand the Torah, and La'asos Chukei Ritzonecha means to do the Chukim, meaning even though they may be beyond our understanding, and we don't know them, meaning we don't understand them, we don't depend on our understanding, and we do it nonetheless because Hashem says so, and that's why it's Chukei Ritzonecha. We're doing it because it is Hashem's Ratzon. So Hashem gives us the ability to understand the Torah, and then He also gives us the ability to do the chukim, to act out those things which we don't understand. It's definitely not a topic to get into right now, exactly what a chok is, but you know, a chok does not necessarily mean something which has no meaning. For example, that Chazal tell us that there was only one mitzvah that Shlomo HaMelech did not understand the meaning for, that the certain aspect of Para Aduma, how it's Matar Es HaTorim and Matam Es HaTemeim, and everything else Shlomo HaMelech understood. That's what he said, Amarti Achka Ama V'Rachoka Yimimeni, and so does that mean that for Shlomo HaMelech, that Shatnez was not a chok, but for us it is a chok? It's for some people, depending on how much you understand, that makes something a chok or not. So the meaning of a chok is seemingly something which you would not have again, a broader topic than to discuss in this context, not the place for it, but you know, in general, a chok is something which you wouldn't necessarily have come up with on your own, that you wouldn't have, you know, something like don't steal, don't kill, like, you know, people understand, you want, you know, society function, you want to have, you know, that things that, you know, they're very rational and almost self-explanatory in their purpose, as opposed to chukim, are things which, after the fact, we might be able to learn lessons from them, but the reason we do them is not because, you know, they have this clear self-explanatory benefit and sense to them, but because of the lesson that, but we do because Hashem said so. There might be a lesson that we take out of it, and there is, and they do all have meaning, but at the end of the day, the chukim, the our relationship with chukim is the doing them, is la'asos chukei ritzonecha, doing them because they're Hashem's will. The reason we're doing them is not because they're things which seem like they're a good idea, but they're things because they're Hashem's ratzon, and that's why we do them. So that's l'mana tarasecha, to know the Torah, to understand the Torah, and la'asos chukei ritzonecha, to do the chukim because they're Hashem's ratzon. There's a variant girsa, a variant text of Atachon Antanu, which seemingly is a little bit of a transplant from, if you look on at the Shmoneh Esrei for Yom Tov, so the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei of Yom Tov says when Yom Tov is on Motzi Shabbos and you make Havdalah between Shabbos and Yom Tov in Shmoneh Esrei, so it says Vatodienu Hashem Elokeinu es mishpatei Vatodienu Hashem Elokeinu es mishpatei tzedkecha Vatilamdenu lasos bahem chukei ritzonecha. So So that word bahem, it's the same line, v'talamdinu la'asos chukei ritzonecha, but it has the word bahem put in, v'talamdinu la'asos bahem chukei ritzonecha. So there are some texts which have, in our Havdalah also, that have v'talamdinu la'asos bahem chukei ritzonecha. So if you don't have it, seemingly the reason is because it belongs in Motzei Shabbos of Motzei Shabbos of Yom Tov, and it got accidentally put here and we took it back out. But there are texts that have it in there, and seemingly the
here it's in parentheses.
Oh yeah, it's right.
Actually, an actual text. It's funny.
Right. So seemingly what that text would mean, lasos bahem chukei ritzonecha, is that, you know, that is atachonu antanu lamada Torah secha, you teach us to know the Torah, and then lasos bahem, to do through the knowledge of Torah, chukei ritzonecha, to do the ratzon Hashem, meaning that the only way to know ratzon Hashem is through the Torah, right? You have a lot of people who say, you know, God would have never said that. You know, who told you what God thinks? If you want to know what Hashem thinks, so he told us, he gave us the Torah, and that's how we know what to do. So it's that through the Torah, that's how we know how to do the chukei ritzonecha. That's how we know how to carry out Hashem's ratzon.
But unless I'm reading it incorrectly, but it says, "V'todienu Hashem Elokeinu es mishpatei tzidkecha."
Now you're back. You're still.
Like the behem is the tzidkei. Right.
Well, you're in Motzei Shabbos. You're in Motzei Yom Tov, right? I'm in regular Motzei Shabbos.
Right. I understand. Oh, when you're talking about Behem,
yeah.
It seemed to me like Behem wasn't about the Behem seemed to have been modifying the Mishpatei Tzidkecha.
Those words that I'm trying to tell you, those words are not in the Motzei Shabbos, right. The regular Motzei Shabbos, right? So in the regular over there, that is what it means. Yes. Mm-hmm. But in the regular Motzei Shabbos, when Atachon Antanu Lamada Torah Secha. And if we would add the word bahem in, it would then say v'talam dinu lasos bahem chukei ritzonecha, right? So the bahem would seemingly be going back on the Torah secha and saying that through the Torah. The problem is that there's a grammatical mismatch here, which is that Torah secha is singular, and bahem is them, is plural. So the bahem would seem to be going back on Torah secha. And it's Torah Secha singular, so that might be one reason why we would take it out and say that it's really, you know, was put here by mistake and doesn't really belong here. But Rav Hirsch, he actually likes the text with Bahem, and he says that the Bahem is going back even further. The Bahem is actually going back to the line before the Motzei Shabbos insertion, is actually going back to the first line of the Bracha, and it reads, Ata chonin la'adam das umelamid la'enosh bina, you gave us da'as and bina, and then you gave us the Torah, and you taught us to do through them, through the das and bina that you've given us, through the understanding and the wisdom which you've granted us, through that you've given us the ability to do your Torah. So Hashem teaches us to use those kochos, the seichel and the bina and the faculties that He's given us. He teaches us to use those faculties in order to perform His ratzon. Okay, moving on. Glitter all over the table keeps getting on my notes. All right, so the next lines of Havdalah of the insertion here make a number of Havdalos, four Havdalos that we have here. It says Vatavdel Hashem Elokeinu bein Kodesh l'chol, bein Or l'choshech, bein Yisrael l'amim, bein Yom Hashvi'i l'sheish yemei Maaseh. So there are four Havdalos here. The Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Yekar says that these four things, all four of them, are relevant to Motzei Shabbos. We have bein Kodesh l'chol, because Shabbos is Kodesh from Malacha, that Vayikadesh Hashem is Yom Shvi, right? Or Vayikadesh also, that Hashem sanctified the seventh day, that we don't do Malacha on it. So that's the Bein Kodesh L'chol Shabbos. Bein Or L'choshech, says the Ri Ben Yakar, is because the first experience of darkness in the history of ever was on Motzi Shabbos, because Adam HaRishon was created at midday on Friday, and he did the chait that he did on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. And then the light of the 6 days of Bracious, which was a special spiritual light, So as we see from the fact that that light existed in the first 2 days of creation before there were Ma'oros, before there was a sun and the moon, there was an Or. This Or was not just, you know, the burning of gases in the sun. This was some you know, supernatural light. And that light, the Medrash says, remained for Shabbos, at which point it was hidden away, just as an unrelated remez. Adam HaRishon had that light for, there was the 12 hours of Erev Shabbos, and the 24 hours of Shabbos is 36 hours of the Or HaGanuz, which corresponds to the 36 candles of Hanukkah, which are bringing back into the world that light of the Or HaGanuz, the light that was hidden away in Bereishis. Unrelated side note. So at this point, on Motzi Shabbos, so it was not until Motzi Shabbos he had the rest of the day after his chote. It would have gotten dark at night, which would have been the first time that darkness came into the world, but Shabbos, that the Or HaGanuz, that light stayed for Shabbos, and it was on Motzi Shabbos when that light was hidden away, and at that point that the world, for the first time, that there was the experience of darkness. So Motzi Shabbos is the beginning of darkness, and really, every Shabbos has this to a certain degree, because if you think about it, Shabbos is the one creation which was unaffected by the chait of Adam HaRishon. Shabbos did not yet exist. Adam HaRishon was the last creation of Sheishis Yimei Bereishis. Everything was already there, and therefore when Adam did his chait and impacted the world with his chait, everything that existed was impacted by that chait. But there was one thing which was not created yet. Baal Shabbos, Baal Menucha, Menucha, Shabbos was not yet created, and therefore Shabbos was not impacted, was not affected by the chait, by the sin of Adam HaRishon. And so that Shabbos, every day of the week, is a recurrence, a recycling. We're going through the same seven-day cycle. Every Shabbos is a recurrence of that same Shabbos of Bereishis, and that same light which was in the world in the original Shabbos is the same light that we have a taste of that light on Shabbos, and therefore every Motzi Shabbos is a reintroduction of darkness, of the departure of that original light, and therefore every Motzi Shabbos really has an aspect of this Havdalah, of this leaving of the R. So that's Bein Or LaChoshech, Bein Yisrael LaAmim. Shabbos is a special gift to the Jewish people, to Klal Yisrael. Our keeping of Shabbos differentiates us from the nations. The halacha is Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa, that a non-Jew who decides to keep Shabbos actually is liable to a death penalty. Shabbos is a special mitzvah, which is only for Klal Yisrael. And on Motzi Shabbos, we, in a certain sense, to a certain extent, go back down to being like the rest of the nations. On Shabbos, we're on a different plane. And on Motzi Shabbos, we descend, and we commemorate that fact. Every Shabbos, we say we have a Neshama Yisera. And every Motzi Shabbos, we have to have Besamim to console ourselves for the loss of that Neshama Yisera. Because we're actually descending back down a plane, and we actually have to kind of brace ourselves for the landing on every Motzi Shabbos.
Is it preferable to keep Shabbos longer? We usually keep it to nightfall. Some people keep it an extra 72 minutes.
That's right, and some people keep it until Tuesday.
Yeah,
There is a mitzvah called Tosefes Shabbos, which is a mitzvah to start Shabbos early and to end Shabbos late. The amount of fulfilling that is not actually such a significant amount, something between like 2 and 30 minutes. But we generally follow the opinion as 2 minutes. So just, you know, waiting 2 minutes to make Havdalah is already fulfilling that. So, you know, by the time most people get home, we've already gotten that covered. But there is a specific mitzvah, possibly even a mitzvah d'oraisa, to add on to Shabbos. You're looking perplexed.
What do you mean some people keep Shabbos until Tuesday?
Amshinavar Chasidim in Yerushalayim keep Shabbos until Tuesday. Yeah, you're not. Which is the latest that you are allowed to keep Shabbos until. That's the halach and Havdalah. You can't make Havdalah past Tuesday afternoon.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, what it means is that they are keeping Shabbos until Tuesday afternoon.
Like they don't cook.
They're not doing malacha. I have to assume they're putting on tefillin. But it doesn't.
I get the feeling the women don't have the same luxury.
And in the Middle Ages, I don't know if it's the Middle Ages, in Spain, they would have a Malavi Maka on Wednesday. They'd have big parades.
Oh, yeah?
On Wednesday.
I never heard about that. Yeah. All right, so that's Ben Yisrael Lamin. And then the last one, Ben Yom HaShavi L'Sheish Shemaseh. That one I hope everyone can figure out how that's related to Shabbos, right? That's pretty self-explanatory. That's very overtly about Shabbos. So the first three of these Havdalahs come from Psukim. The first one, Ben Kodesh L'Chol, is in Vayikra, says, L'Havdil Ben HaKodesh U'Ben HaChol. Not all of these Psukim are about Shabbos. These are just Havdalah in general. The Havdalah between Kodesh and Chol is Pasuk in Vayikra. L'Havdil Ben Kodesh U'Ben HaChol. Between Or and Choshech is Pasuk in last week's, not Noach, in Parshas Bereishis, Vayavdel Elokim Ben Ha'or Ben HaChoshech. The Ben Yisrael Amim is another Pasuk in Vayikra in Perek Chaf. Va'avdel Etzchem Min Ha'amim Lios Li. And the last one, Ben Yom HaShavi L'Sheish Shemaseh, actually is not a Pasuk in the Torah. That Havdalah is not from the Torah. And furthermore, interesting, this Havdalah, Ben Yom HaShavi L'Sheish Shemaseh, does not actually count as one of the Havdalahs. The Gemara says that you need to say three Havdalahs. In order to be Mavdil, we have to mention three Havdalahs. And the three that we say are the ones that are nirmas, that are hinted to in the Torah. And we only mention this fourth one, Ben Yom HaShavi L'Sheish Shemaseh, because when we make Havdalah al Hakos, when we make the, what we would maybe call real Havdalah, that in order, there's a halacha that every bracha, which is more than just starting with Baruch Atah Hashem, and every bracha that has a, so to speak, preamble, needs to have a direct connection between the penultimate line of the bracha and the last line of the bracha. Every bracha Shemona Esrei is like that, where the last few words of the text of the bracha connect into the chasima, into the inclusion of the bracha. So in order that when we make Havdalah al HaKos and we end with the Havdalah of Shabbos, so we go back to with Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol, that we go back to, we don't want to end off with Ben Yisrael La'amim and then go into Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol, because Yisrael La'amim and Kodesh L'Chol are different things. So therefore we throw in sort of extra for an unrelated to Havdalah. It's more of a rule in Hilchos Brachos that we add in this last Havdalah of Ben Yom HaShavi L'Sheish Shemaseh. So it's very interesting. Rav Huttner points out that none of the Havdalahs that we mention as a necessity, as a necessary part of the Havdalah are about Shabbos. And the only one that we mention which is about Shabbos is not necessary, is not essential. You could really have done without it if not for the external Hilchos Brachos requirements. So in what way is this declaration distinguishing from Shabbos? How is this the Havdalah to declare that you know Shabbos is over if all of the Havdalahs that we're saying are not really anything to do with Shabbos, and the only one that does have to do with Shabbos doesn't really need to be here? So exactly what makes this the Havdalah the appropriate declaration to distinguish between Kodesh and Chol? So Rav Huttner points out that there's a difference between the Havdalah of Or and the Havdalah of all of the other Havdalahs, which is that in the Havdalah of Or, we mentioned that the Or was put away, the light was put away, the light of the 6 days of creation, the Or HaGanus, was put away for the Tzadikim La'asad Lavo. And it's not just separating, it's not just I've moved this one over here and this one over here, but it's storing it away. All of the other Havdalahs are merely just that the two are now distinct from each other. The two entities are now separated, one's over here, one's over here, there's a division drawn between them, but they don't have anything to do per se with each one on its own. But by the Havdalah of Or, the Havdalah was putting it away. It wasn't just that Hashem split between Or and Choshech, but the way he divided them was by putting the Or and hiding it away. So Rav Huttner explains that by the Or, by this Or HaGanus, by this special light which existed in creation, that the very fact that it coexists with darkness, the fact that it's there at the same time as the darkness, that the fact that they exist together, that itself is tantamount to a mixture, to them being inappropriately mixed. And the only way to separate between the two is by hiding it. The fact that both of them are present at the same time, that's already too much. That already constitutes an inappropriate mixture of the two, and therefore the only way to separate between this R, this spiritual R of Bracious and the Choshech, was to store the R away. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. The experience of Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba. We get a day every week to have to sort of realign ourselves and reinvigorate ourselves by having this taste, this experience of Olam Haba. And says Rav Huttner that it would be dangerously depressing to drag the feeling of Menucha, the feeling of Shabbos, the rest and tranquility, and sort of the feeling of I've arrived, I've reached my destination, to pull that with you into the effort and the toil of the Yemeha Maisa v'Hishtadlus, the days of the week, the days of effort and the days of work. And if there's even, you know, the awareness in the back of your mind, you kind of have the contrast between the two, it would be debilitating for a person. And the only way that we can really move on is we have to put away, to hide the aura of Shabbos in order to have the drive, to have the ability to move on and do what's necessary in the upcoming week. There has to be a hiding away, a putting away of that aura of Shabbos. And says Rav Huttner that in this way, that the Havdalah of Or, the separating of the Or from the Choshech, is really the paradigm of the Havdalah of Shabbos. The model of the Havdalah of Shabbos is really the force of the first, I'm sorry, not the second of the Havdalah that we mentioned, being Kosher Chol, being Or L'Choshech, right? The second, that we mentioned being Or L'Choshech, says Rav Huttner, that really qualifies, and that really is the thrust of the Havdalah of Shabbos, the storing away of the Or, of the light of Sheish Yemei Bracious, and the storing away of Shabbos are parallel. They're both acts of putting something away in order to be able to move on without it. The same way that the R of Bracious, had it still been there, had it still been that it was like tantalizingly there, we just couldn't reach it, so we wouldn't have been able to cope with the Choshech that we're facing if we were faced with the memory, the taste of that R, and therefore the only way that it would be an inappropriate mixture if the Or was still present at all, and therefore the Or had to be hidden away. And the same thing with Shabbos, that Shabbos, when we make Havdalah, then it has to be that it's hidden away, that we're separating, we're cutting off from that in order to be able to go into the Sheish Yemei Maisa, as we have to do. Then it has to be this stepping away, and in this way, Havdalah is really very parallel to Kiddush, that Kiddush is bringing in and creating the Kedusha, and Havdalah is ending and putting away that Kedusha. And the Rambam actually understands that Kiddush and Havdalah are both parts of the mitzvah of Kiddush. The Rambam understands that Havdalah is also a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's the other half of Kiddush. The way the Rambam says it is the mitzvah of Kiddush is to recognize Shabbos when it comes in and when it leaves. So Kiddush and Havdalah are two halves of the same concept. And it's creating that Kedusha, and then it's closing the door on that Kedusha also, because it has to be that's put away before a person can move on. That's what Huttner says. I wanted to connect it, and the Maharal says, and my wife should be familiar with this because I spoke about this at our Shabbat Brachos, so I'm sure she remembers it, that there are two types of Eish. There's two types of fire. As the Rishonim say, there were four elements with which the world was created. There's Eish and Mayim and Ruach and Afar. There's earth and fire and wind and water, right? And if you watched Captain Planet growing up, then you know there's also heart, and they combine to make Captain Planet. But in Judaism, they don't have Captain Planet. They just have earth, fire, wind, and water. And so the Yesod says the Maharal that there's two types of fire. There was the Eish HaYesodi, the fire which was the elemental fire of Sheshis and Mebrachis with which the world was created. And says the Maharal that fire, it doesn't burn. It's black fire. That's the way the Maharal explains it. That every element is shoeif, kind of yearns back towards its source, where it's rooted. So water, you pour a cup of water onto the ground, and it flows back towards, you know, sea level, because that's where water wants to get back to where the water is. And dirt will go back, and air, if you put, you know, blow bubbles underwater, it'll come back up. And everything is shoeif towards its source. Fire, when you light a fire, it's always climbing up. So where, if fire's always climbing up, so where is fire? So fire is in the sky. Fire is in Shemayim. So then why is it that, you know, if fire is in Shemayim, why is it that at night that the sky is not red? The sky should, you know, be a flaming red. Because the fire of Sheish Dimei Bracious, the Yesod HaEish, is black fire. And that's why the sky is black at night. It's black fire. I don't know how, if that's meant to be the radiation belt which makes the sky look black, whatever it is. But that's the conceptual idea that it's black fire. And this black fire, it doesn't burn, and it doesn't produce heat, and it doesn't light up. And in the Eish of Bracious, it makes sense. There was nothing to light up. As we mentioned, that there was a different light in Sheish Yimei Bracious. In Sheish Yimei Bracious, there was the light of the Or HaGanuz. Creation was entirely lit up. So it's only the Eish HaYesodi, the elemental fire of creation, doesn't produce light. The second Eish, the second fire, which is the fire that we have, was the Eish of Motzi Shabbos. That says that on Motzi Shabbos, when it started to get dark, that Adam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu or a Malach or who came to Adam Arishon and showed him to bang two rocks together and make a spark and produce a fire. The fire that is the fire of Motzi Shabbos, the fire that was created by Adam Arishon, the Eish of Adam, is after the Or of Sheish Yimei Bracious was hidden away. That's the point where there was the need to introduce the Or of Olam HaMaisa, the world of creation, the world in which we are meant to do our task. The Or of Sheshis and Mebrachis, that Eish, is a fire that doesn't produce, it doesn't burn, it doesn't produce heat. It's not an Eish of production. It's not an Eish of accomplishment. It's not an Eish which you would produce anything with. The Or of Motzi Shabbos, the Or of the Yemei HaMaisa, that's the Or of Hishtadlus, the Or of working, of affecting the world, the Or which Adam brought into the world, which he was taught on Motzi Shabbos, when you left that Or HaGanaz, that the Sheshis Yemei Bracious, and that spiritual light, and now Adam HaRishon has to go off on his own, that's the point at which that Eish, the Eish which we use, the Eish of production, the Eish in which is creative, that's the Eish of our fire that we brought into the world. And every Shabbos, we have this same relationship that, as we mentioned, the Or of Bracious comes back to the world. And every Motzi Shabbos, what do? We light our own candle. Every Motzi Shabbos, we have the Ner of Havdalah, in which we are commemorating, as Machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, with the light of Motzi Shabbos, what it's commemorating. We use a light with multiple wicks to show the multiple colors of the Or, is to commemorate the Or of Adam HaRishon, which I think might be the same idea, as opposed to the black fire, which is colorless. We want a fire which specifically emphasizes and shows all the different colors which exist in the fire. That's the Or that we are commemorating, that we are, so to speak, bringing into the world on Motzi Shabbos, is the Or of Yemei HaMaisa, is the Or which we can do, we can accomplish, we can bring things into the world. You had your...
I was wondering if anyone ever made the connection between the first Or, the Or of creation, and the Sneh when Moshe came, because that was the Or that was not consuming. It's sort of like it was Hashem, spiritual. So I don't know if anyone ever made that connection.
That's very interesting, right? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking mitoch Hasneh. I don't know. I've never seen anyone discuss that. But right, so it's a sneh bo'er, a sneh. What's pasuk a sneh?
Bo'esh, bo'er, bo'esh.
Bo'er, the eino uka. There we go. Right.
Sneh bo'er. Sneh,
right. There we go. Right. So that the right, it was burning, but it wasn't consuming. Right. It's, I don't know. I never.
That would have been an opportunity. That would have been a time that it was brought into the world, which is unusual, right? Because it's supposed to have been it's put aside somewhere until whenever, right. And it'll come out. So that would be, if anyone, I don't know, right. And the time that it was actually brought in again.
There are some who learn that the point at which Moshe reached the level of that point, that the highest nevuah, this level of nevuah, which is, you know, seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu directly, all the descriptions that we have of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, of Pel, Pa, Daber, Bo, and Lokin Avdi Moshe, Pal Pal Darbo, and
when he was in the cleft of the rock.
Hmm?
When he was in the rock, also seeing Hashem pass by, or
no? So there are Rishonim, I think, who say that the point at which Moshe Rabbeinu reached that Madrego, which he then kept, was at the point of the snare, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when a Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him that I am Yud Kei Vav Kei, and I spoke to your forefathers as Kael Shakai. That up and they knew me as Kael Shakai, but you know me as Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the most essential name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was the point at which Moshe Rabbeinu had that recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this most essential way. I think the Nefesh HaChayim learns from there. It connects that to the Madriga of the level of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's an interesting idea that if that has to do something with that Eish, that R of Yimei Maisa, I mean of Yimei Brachus. So yeah, interesting point. The next point, if I start now, we'll have to stop in the middle. So we'll pause here for tonight, and as Hashem resume next week, plan on being at 8 o'clock for the duration of the winter season until at least until the clock changes. I mean, changes back.